Translation. Now I am attracted by those instructions imparted to me by the Personality of Godhead, Govinda, because they are impregnated with instructions for relieving the burning heart in all circumstances of time and space. Purport by Svangya Sisi Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The humongous purport. Herein, Arjuna refers to the instructions of the Bhagavad Gita, which was imparted to him by the Lord on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. The Lord left behind him the instructions of the Bhagavad Gita, not for the benefit of Arjuna alone, but also for all time and in all lands. The Bhagavad Gita, being spoken by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the essence of all Vedic wisdom. It is nicely presented by the Lord Himself for all those who have very little time to go through the vast Vedic literatures like the Upanishads, Puranas, and Vedanta Sutras. It is put within the study of the great historical epic, Mahabharata, which was especially prepared for the less intelligent class, namely the women, the laborers, and those who are worthless descendants of the Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, and higher sections of the Vaishyas. The problem which arose in the heart of Arjuna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra was solved by the teachings of the Bhagavad Gita. Again, after the departure of the Lord from the vision of earthly people, when Arjuna was face to face with being vanquished in his acquired power and prominence, he wanted again to remember the great teachings of the Bhagavad Gita, just to teach all concerned that the Bhagavad Gita can be consulted in all critical times, not only for solace from all kinds of mental agonies, but also for the way out of great entanglements which may embarrass one in some critical hour. The merciful Lord left behind him the great teachings of the Bhagavad Gita so that one can take the instructions of the Lord even when he is not visible to material eyesight. Material senses cannot have any estimation of the Supreme Lord, but by his inconceivable power, the Lord can incarnate himself to the sense perception of the conditioned souls in a suitable manner through the agency of matter, which is also another form of the Lord's manifested energy. Translation again, now I am attracted to those instructions imparted to me by the Personality of Godhead, Govinda, because they are impregnated with instructions for relieving the burning heart in all circumstances of time and space. This is it. The lamentation of Arjuna is coming to a close. Plus, they never get over the absence of Krishna. But here in this shloka, Arjuna is saying, now he's become attracted to those, hearing those topics, which was directly given to me by Lord Krishna on the battlefield. By hearing those, because those topics are impregnated with transcendental instructions for relieving the burning heart in all circumstances. So that is the potency of the Lord being absolute. We hear his name, fame, quality, pastimes, paraphernalia. Everything is absolute about the Lord. Anything connected with him, especially the direct things like that, like those five things, they're all actually non-different from the Lord. We have no experience in the material world. But the fact is that if one is submissive, if one has the right attitude, then one can appreciate that these things are not different from the Lord, right? And this is one of the symptoms that There will be, a great relief. Relieving the burning heart. No matter where you are or what time it is, whether the Lord is personally present or not. And so Prabhupada says here we can get the same benefit by as Arjuna got, even though he is directly instructed by Lord Krishna. We can get the same benefit simply by hearing those same instructions. That was the purpose of speaking this information in the battlefield of Kurukshetra, for the benefit of all of the living entities for all time. But that is because it's directly spoken by the Lord, and because it's concerning topics concerning the bondage and freedom of the living entity, then they're always fresh and they're always relishable. Because every living entity is burning in this material world. The heart is actually burning. As Prabhupada says, a hard struggle for existence. That everyone is struggling hard most of the time, 20 hours a day, we're actually struggling just to keep these problems away. And then there's a little relief after that, which is not guaranteed, but there is a little, some relief after it. But it takes 20 hours of the day to become to become free from the pressure of the material energy. It's actually burning. It's like some sadhana, it's like a blazing forest fire. It actually is, if we consider it. We're 20 hours of the day, we're eating, sleeping and defending. And then you get a bit of relief after all that, after working all day, sleeping all night. Then you get a little relief. You get a little peace of mind that now I've got a few hours of peace. Well, it's not even guaranteed because always unexpected things happen. But this is a fact of life. We just look at our daily activities from morning till night. We're just struggling to keep the problems away. So the living entity is always in a distressful condition. That is one of the symptoms. Always fearful. Always afraid of their supposed enemy. We have so many enemies in the form of people, time, anger, etc. So we're always fearful of that because we've experienced it. Therefore we have to endeavor so hard just to keep them away. All day, we work all day and night, and just a few hours, a little time we have where we can actually think about enjoying. We kept everything is clear, everything is okay for a few hours in a day. Of course, you get a weekend off now and again, but and then you've got your free time, and then a lot of people take to intoxication just so you can forget. What a struggle it is. It's like that. Or find something which titillates the senses so they can become absorbed in that and forget about the actual reality. Nobody talks about that. Nobody actually talks about it. They all talk about the how it's going to be nice. Right? That's what we're taught. And that's what we're shown by all the media. Nobody actually thinks very clearly about what is going on. But here, it's very clear. It's black and white. Krishna is saying, from top to bottom, it's a place of misery. So you better believe what Krishna says. He's God. He knows what he's talking about. He knows how this cosmic manifestation works. He created it. We're working under his direction. And it's simply meant to give us trouble. Simply meant to wake the sleeping soul up, the conditioned soul who thinks he can be enjoying, taking the Lord's position, to wake him up from that illusion. So there's always the pressure is there. Maya is always giving pressure. She's relentless. Adi Atmi Kari Devi Kari Bode. You know that tree soul that Maya carries is tree soul, Durga Devi. Ariadne, Ari, David, Ari Lodi, get back, get back, get back. You can't stay here. Go back to Krishna, go back to Krishna. That's what she's doing. We don't see it like that, but that's what she's actually doing because she's a great Vaishnava. Anyway, her business is on the other side. If we don't see it like that, then she's either attractive or repulsive. So 20 hours, 20 hours we see the repulsive side of Durga, and 4 hours there's a little, you know, she's not so bad after all. And then we can think about enjoying her. she puts her trident down for a few hours in a day, and then you can think about enjoying. Both are illusion. You can neither enjoy nor control. So all these things are mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita, and so it's a great relief when one hears these things. Huh? Of course, the purport has discussed everything. It's summarized the whole Bhagavad Gita, but it's discussing those five truths of this world: the Lord and the living entity, time, the etc. And so that's all we got. The living entity is there, and he's controlled by this nature, which is controlled, which is under the jurisdiction of time and space, which is more or less a very similar thing. It's difficult to define time, but time and space is more or less the same thing. I mean, you can use the word synonymously. If you want to go to the, if you ask how far is a jog pit, you may say it's a kilometer, or you may say it's 20 minutes walk. So you can say it in terms of distance or in terms of time. It's more or less the same thing. But anyway, that within that time, which is also one of Krishna's great energies, then there's all this matter, this physical matter that we can perceive, both gross and subtle. And that's the material world, that's all that's going on, that's the cause of manifestation. And according to the tiny, tiny living entity, smaller than an atom in this huge creation, smaller than an atom. And then he's identifying with the atoms that he's accumulated according to his activities, which we call our bodies, and the other atoms which by nature appear in different shapes. Shapes, colors, and sounds, and tastes. Then we give them names, and so it becomes the world of names. But that's all that's going on. Living entity thinks he's doing, but he's actually not doing anything at all. He's bewildered. He's desiring things to happen, and according to his work, he gets the result, or he doesn't get the result, according to how he behaves, how he does it, how he goes about achieving, fulfilling his desires. If he's faithful to the scripture, to the Lord, then he can, that's the best he can do. As faithful as you are to the instructions, then that's the best you can get from it. You can't get any better than that. And unfortunately, no one's even really interested in being religious, even though we were using material religion just to satisfy our sense, just for our sense gratification. But hardly anyone is interested in that, at least amongst. So those are the pious people, the pious living entities. They're still bewildered. They don't know what's going on. But they're pious. Yeah. So the living entity from transmigrates from one body to another, identifying with that particular set of senses, and identifying things as good and bad that material nature presents in front of one's eyes or one's ears. That's all that's going on. It's just the material nature is under the jurisdiction of the Lord via the demigods, that you're going to experience so much happiness and so much suffering in this life. And then the material nature just presents those opportunities so you can experience. That's all that's going on. Nothing else is going on. But the things we don't like, then we make programs how to avoid them. And things we do like, we make programs how to get them more of it. That's all that's going on. Accepting and rejecting, that's the mind's business. So I like this, I don't like that. This is what all the mind does, more or less. I mean, in preliminary, and then it makes a program how to get it with the help of the intelligence. The intelligence will tell how to achieve your how to fulfill your desires. That's what's going on. Nothing else. So it's just this is samsara. So some limiting is going up by forming pious activities and staying in the higher worlds where there's less problems, relatively speaking. And when that's the result of their pious activities exhausted, again back, human being, again start up again. And the ones that don't choose to follow and make their own programs, they generally go down. And then work their way back again to purify that misuse of their independence. They get purified in the animal and lower species of life. So then that gets purified and they take birth again as human beings. And they get another shot, another chance. This is the karma stand. There's no karma. They don't make karma up or you don't make karma down. There you just use the karma that you made on this middle planetary system. So this is the place. But this is a pivot where you can actually break free from the cycle of birth and death altogether. Therefore, it's considered the most glorious planet. Because even the residents of Jambudvipa, they want to take birth in Bharat Vasha because they practice Varnashram there. Which is the form of purification, the highest religious form of purification. Of course, we understand bhakti is actually the highest performance of purification. That's not what it's meant for, but that's a byproduct. But the others, for the other forms of purification, they're specifically tailored at purification. When one is purified, as Srila Prabhupada mentions in the purport, by activities, by performing prescribed activities, karma, or by speculative knowledge, or gyan, by trying to understand the truth with the mind, with the help of the scriptures, that's called gyan. And Krishna says, after many, many births of being a jnani, who has already surpassed the karma, one who knows the truth, one who's divine, he understands that Krishna is the all-in-all, and then he surrenders to him. So that is the ultimate goal of all of the scriptures, the Vedic literatures leading to God, leading to surrender to God, or at least the Vedic scriptures. So when one takes that, when one accepts that, and sincerely tries to surrender to the Lord, then one is considered to have already surpassed all those other different processes of purification. So even though we may use the process of bhakti for purification, which it will do, ultimately that will develop into a reawakening one's original constitution, which is eternal servant of the Lord. And that's considered the best, and that's practically the only process in Kali Yuga. These other processes won't work in Kali Yuga. Karma and Gyan, you can't do it, you don't live long enough. And they're not potent in Kali Yuga. So the Lord has given this by Dr. Chaitanya has come and given this wonderful process, easy process, simple process, not easy. So, I said it was simple, I never said it was easy. Prabhupada, we've been hearing this lately. It's easy because we only have two rules, one rule. We only have one rule to follow, or two. Accept what's favorable and reject what's unfavorable. So we just have to learn what's favorable and what's unfavorable. That's all we have to know. And then when we know that, then we do it. So it's simple. But doing it is hard. Because sometimes you see something unfavorable, let's say you say yes. The mind still says yes, even knowingly. So that's what's hard about it. The mind is very attractive, so it's not always easy to say no to mind. We have to say yes to Krishna, no to mind, but sometimes we say no to Krishna and yes to mind, even though we know, we know what we're doing wrong. So that is the foolishness of the conditioned soul. We become addicted to this flickering pleasure in the material world. But that's, so therefore it's hard. Our Prabhupada said, therefore I didn't say it was easy. I said it was simple. I tricked them. But what's the alternative anyway? There's no other alternative than bhakti, than to surrender to Krishna, because nothing else is going to work in Kali Yuga. So there's no stopping. And who would want to stop? Actually. It's such a relief to hear this information. So it's what you've been wanting to hear all along. How many devotees have you heard when they're saying, how I came to Krishna consciousness? They picked up Prabhupada's book. Wow, that was it. That was it. Jananipas was one. He came to Calcutta to get some. He met the devotees in Puri. He said, have you got any books? They said, no, come to our ashram in Calcutta. And he picked up, because I read, he wrote these verses, of the Vyasa Puja offering. He said, you know, I've been searching all around. He was just about to give up his search for truth at that time. So then he got the open the Bhagavad Gita, he said, that was it, as it is. That's all, that's what I wanted to hear, you know, this is actually Bhagavad Gita as it is. That's what I wanted to hear, no one ever told us. It's so apparent the way Prabhupada writes so lucidly, so clearly and so simply. It's quite obvious. But what a relief to hear these things. You know, who you are, what is the situation, and it resolves all of those questions that drove us nuts, trying to find an answer. What a relief. And that you don't have to take birth, you're different from the body, and then you don't have to get into complete anxiety about the you know, what's going to happen to you in the future, and you don't, and as Prabhupada saves you from great distress, not only mental anguish, but also entangling circumstances which you think there's no end, and they want you to go and throw yourself off the bridge because you can't see any solution to the problem. It happens all the time. But with this knowledge, you don't worry about those things. You understand the result. It's up to Krishna anyway. And what can you do? And that doesn't solve the problem. Huh? Giving up the life doesn't solve the problem. It just aggravates the problem. You suffer even more. But out of frustration, just how frustrated the people must be to give up their life, which is most dear. It's the most dear thing to anyone, is their own sense of being. It's the most dear thing. So if someone gives that up, just think how frustrated they must be, how much in anguish they must be. Commit suicide. And all for what? If you see the people who commit suicide, it's just, you know, if you really look at it as a devotee, you know, the things are just got a whole, you know, social things, entanglements, and it's all going on in their mind, and it's too much for them, they can't handle it. And most of it's like that. Most of it's like that. The different conflict in duties and family members and societies, and most of it's all like that. You know? It doesn't go how you want it to go, and it's just overwhelming, and you can't handle it. What a relief. But a devotee, you know, don't worry about these things. We just depend on Krishna for the result. We're just acting. We know we're not the doers, and we know the result doesn't depend on our activity. We strive for a result, obviously. But that actually depends on Krishna. And in the material world, material sense, it just depends on your previous karma. So that's gonna, you know, it's gonna come anyway. The goal of everything is happiness. That's what everyone wants. That's the prime goal of everything. So they're making all of these plans to achieve happiness, and that means you've got to make a lot of plans for distress. Right? The biggest budget in the government, in many governments, is defense. The fearful. First, you've got to, you know, make sure you're protected. And then one of the other biggest expenditures is medicine. In India, it's the second biggest thing. And they love to take pills and medicine. Doctor's fees, you're very dear. The body is very dear. First, you know, death, and then disease. So you're willing to give everything for that. It's so dear to you, this lump of earth, water, fire, and air. And the last one was so dear to you, and the next one's going to be so dear to you, and you won't give a fig about this one. You won't even remember it. But what does speak of being attached to this one, then you become attached to another one. And as a result of that, you get a lot of other little ones. You become attached to them. And either everyone's doing it again and again and again. And nobody knows, there's no other alternative, right? No, everyone does it. In the whole world, they're doing that. You see a man and a woman, they come together, they build some kind of shelter, and they have children. Every society, every country in the world, they're doing the same thing. What else is there to do? So it's such a relief to hear what's actually going on. You can free from this. But because we're so short-sighted, because Maya doesn't let you get too broad-minded, that's her business, you put the pressure on, you know, it's an emergency situation. She's doing that. Everything's emergency. So there you're so preoccupied trying to overcome the latest danger or the latest thing, then you have no time to think. Mind's just got you running like anything. Expert. No time. But if you understand what's going on, oh, it's Maya. You see, Maya's pushing us along. Well, you don't have to. Then you hear that you don't have to listen to the mind. You don't have to listen to the senses. There's an alternative. But the Vakramis, there's no alternative. You listen to your mind or someone else's. Of course we listen to somebody else's. We listen to Krishna's, or those that are in line with Krishna. You've got to do that. You have to accept some authority, otherwise, you know, what can be. Unfortunately, we're not that proud, but we don't accept any authority at all. So it's such a relief, such a wonderful information that you can actually be peaceful in life. You can actually just live your life peacefully and accept what comes as your destiny or Krishna's mercy. And in the next life, you go back to it's the last life. It's a joyful performance. This is the first symptom of performing devotional service is kleshagni. But these distresses, they go away. Because most of them are in the mind. Most of the distresses are actually, you know, the mental distresses. It's not the sickness and all that so much. Most of the problems are mental problems. You know, different ego clashes and this and that. That's what most people get hung up on. But that goes away. I mean, not immediately. Because we're still running on our same nature. It's not that the sun, you hear that, then everything, you switch everything else off. Or you get initiated, then poof, you know, it's all your material life is. No, you still like the same things. You still don't like the same things. It's still there. Your nature is still there. You still interact with the modes the same way as you always was doing. But now you're discriminating on with a higher intelligence. We accept what's favorable for Krishna, and we reject what's unfavorable for Krishna consciousness. Even we may like it, still, so it's attractive to us. Because it's not favorable, then we reject it. If it's favorable, then we take it, and vice versa. So then it solves a problem. But that means you've got to put faith. You've got to put your life in someone else's hands. That's a big step of faith, which is a difficult thing to do. It's a rare thing to do, because we came here to be the master. We didn't come to be a servant. You see, so it means admitting defeat. It means admitting material defeat, that you're not, you couldn't do what you wanted to do. You couldn't be the controller and enjoyer. It's a hard one to swallow, to accept. You're not the controller and enjoyer. But that's honest. That if you're honest and see what's going on, and you're a little broad-minded, then you can understand. You're actually a jerk in the material world, trying to achieve something. Everyone's doing the same thing. It's a big struggle. It's a big race. Everyone's trying to do the same old thing, trying to get on top, trying to enjoy it, and everyone's exploiting everyone else. It's common sense, but because of the pressures of mind and the mode of passion, you don't see it. You're completely caught up, you know, in that picture, in the whole circumstance that's going on. And the more passion and the more ignorance and the more and more absorbed you are in the thing. Therefore, it's recommended, come to the mode of goodness, you can be broad-minded, you can get a bigger picture, see what's actually going on. But here, in this transcendental literature, you get the full picture. Krishna's giving you the full picture. He's giving you the 14 planetary systems and beyond. This is what is going on. This is the material world. Our Brahma, from top to bottom, is a place of misery. Living entity doesn't belong there. You belong in the spiritual world, enjoying in service to me, happily. Thus. Translation. Now I am attracted by those instructions imparted to me by the Personality of Godhead, Govinda, because they are impregnated with instructions for relieving the burning heart in all circumstances of time and space. Purport by Svangya Sisi Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Thank you, Mahesh Prabhupada. Herein, Arjuna refers to the instructions of the Bhagavad Gita, which was imparted to him by the Lord on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. The Lord left behind him the instructions of the Bhagavad Gita, not for the benefit of Arjuna alone, but also for all time and in all lands. The Bhagavad Gita, being spoken by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the essence of all Vedic wisdom. It is nicely presented by the Lord Himself for all those who have very little time to go through the vast Vedic literatures like the Upanishads, Puranas, and Vedanta Sutras. It is put within the study of the great historical epic, Mahabharata, which was especially prepared for the less intelligent class, namely the women, the laborers, and those who are worthless descendants of the Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, and higher sections of the Vaishyas. The problem which arose in the heart of Arjuna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra was solved by the teachings of the Bhagavad Gita. Again, after the departure of the Lord from the vision of earthly people, when Arjuna was face to face with being vanquished in his acquired power and prominence, he wanted again to remember the great teachings of the Bhagavad Gita, just to teach all concerned that the Bhagavad Gita can be consulted in all critical times, not only for solace from all kinds of mental agonies, but also for the way out of great entanglements which may embarrass one in some critical hour. The merciful Lord left behind him the great teachings of the Bhagavad Gita so that one can take the instructions of the Lord even when he is not visible to material eyesight. Material senses cannot have any estimation of the Supreme Lord, but by his inconceivable power, the Lord can incarnate himself to the sense perception of the conditioned souls in a suitable manner through the agency of matter, which is also another form of the Lord's manifested energy. Translation again, now I am attracted to those instructions imparted to me by the Personality of Godhead, Govinda, because they are impregnated with instructions for relieving the burning heart in all circumstances of time and space. This is it. The lamentation of Arjuna is coming to a close. Plus, they never get over the absence of Krishna. But here in this shloka, Arjuna is saying, now he's become attracted to those, hearing those topics, which was directly given to me by Lord Krishna on the battlefield. By hearing those, because those topics are impregnated with transcendental instructions for relieving the burning heart in all circumstances. So that is the potency of the Lord being absolute. We hear his name, fame, quality, pastimes, paraphernalia. Everything is absolute about the Lord. Anything connected with him, especially the direct things like that, like those five things, they're all actually non-different from the Lord. We have no experience in the material world. But the fact is that if one is submissive, if one has the right attitude, then one can appreciate that these things are not hidden from the Lord, right? This is one of the symptoms that you will get a great relief, relieving the burning heart, no matter where you are or what time it is, whether the Lord is personally present or not. And so Prabhupada says here we can get the same benefit as Arjuna got, even though he is directly instructed by Lord Krishna. We can get the same benefit simply by hearing those same instructions. That was the purpose of speaking this information in the battlefield of Kurukshetra, for the benefit of all of the living entities for all time. But that is because it's directly spoken by the Lord, and because it's concerning topics concerning the bondage and freedom of the living entity, then they're always fresh and they're always relishable, because every living entity is burning in this material world. The heart is actually burning. As Prabhupada says, the hard struggle for existence. That everyone is struggling hard most of the time, 20 hours a day, we're actually struggling just to keep these problems away. And then there's a little relief after that, which is not guaranteed, but there is a little, some relief after it. But it takes 20 hours of the day to become to become free from the pressure of the material energy. It's actually burning. Some sand around is like a blazing forest fire. It actually is, if we consider it. We're 20 hours of the day, we're eating, sleeping and defending. And then you get a bit of relief after all that, after working all day, sleeping all night. Then you get a little relief, you get a little peace of mind that now I've got a few hours of peace when it's not even guaranteed, because always unexpected things happen. But this is a fact of life. We just look at our daily activities from morning till night. We're just struggling to keep the problems away. So the living entity is always in a desperate condition. That is one of the symptoms. Always a fearful. Always afraid of their supposed enemy. We have so many enemies in the form of people, time, anger, etc. So we're always fearful of that, because we've experienced it. Therefore we have to endeavor so hard just to keep them away. All day, we work all day and night. And just a few hours, a little time we have where we can actually think about enjoying. We kept everything is clear, everything is okay. For a few hours in a day. Of course you get a weekend off now and again. But and then you've got your free time, and then a lot of people take to intoxication just so you can forget what a struggle it is. It's like that. Or find something which titillates the senses so they can become absorbed in that and forget about the actual reality. Nobody talks about that. Nobody actually talks about it. They all talk about the how it's going to be nice. Right? That's what we're taught, and that's what we're shown by all the media. Nobody actually thinks very clearly about what is going on. But here, it's very clear. It's black and white. Krishna's saying, from top to bottom, it's a place of misery. So you better believe what Krishna says. He's God. He knows what he's talking about. He knows how this cosmic manifestation works. He created it. We're working under his direction. And it's simply meant to give us trouble. Simply meant to wake the sleeping soul up, the conditioned soul who thinks he can be enjoying, taking the Lord's position, to wake him up from that illusion. So there's always the pressure is there. Maya is always giving pressure. She does, she's relentless. Adi Atmikari Devi Kadivode. You know that tree soul that Maya carries is Shriso, Durga Devi. Adhyatmik Adi Devi Adi Roti, get back. You can't stay here. Go back to Krishna. That's what she's doing. We don't see it like that, but that's what she's actually doing because she's a great Vaishnava. Anyway, her business is on the other side. If we don't see it like that, then she's either attractive or repulsive. So 20 hours, 20 hours we see the repulsive side of Durga, and 4 hours there's a little, you know, she's not so bad after all. And then we can think about enjoying her. she puts her trident down for a few hours in a day. And then you can think about enjoying. Both are illusion. You can neither enjoy nor control. So all these things are mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita, and so it's a great relief when one hears these things. Huh? Of course, the purport has discussed everything. It summarizes the whole Bhagavad Gita. But it's discussing those five truths of this world: the Lord and the living entity, time, etc. And so that's all we got. The living entity is there, and he's controlled by this nature, which is under the jurisdiction of time and space, which is more or less a very similar thing. It's difficult to define time. But time and space is more or less the same thing. I mean, you can use the word synonymously. If you want to go to the, if you ask how far is a jog pit, you may say it's a kilometer, or you may say it's 20 minutes walk. So you can say it in terms of distance or in terms of time. It's more or less the same thing. But anyway, that within that time, which is also one of Krishna's great energies, then there's all this matter, this physical matter that we can perceive, both gross and subtle. And that's the material world, that's all that's going on, that's the cosmic manifestation. And according to the tiny, tiny living entity, smaller than an atom, in this huge creation, smaller than an atom. And then he's identifying with the atoms that he's accumulated according to his activities, which we call our bodies, and the other atoms which by nature appear in different shapes, shapes, colors, and sounds and tastes. Then we give them names, and so it becomes the world of names. But that's all that's going on. Living entity thinks he's doing, but he's actually not doing anything at all. He's bewildered. He's desiring things to happen, and according to his work, he gets the result, or he doesn't get the result, according to how he behaves, how he does it, how he goes about achieving, fulfilling his desires. If he's faithful to the scripture, to the Lord, then he can. That's the best he can do. As faithful as you are to the instructions, then that's the best you can get from it. You can't get any better than that. And unfortunately, no one's even really interested in being religious, even though we're using material religion just to satisfy our sense, just for our sense gratification. But hardly anyone is interested in that, at least amongst, so those are the pious people, the pious living entities. They're still bewildered, they don't know what's going on, but they're pious. Yeah. So the living entity from transmigrates from one body to another, identifying with that particular set of senses, and identifying things as good and bad that material nature presents in front of one's eyes or one's ears. That's all that's going on. It's just the material nature is under the jurisdiction of the Lord via the demigods. That you're going to experience so much happiness and so much suffering in this life. And then the material nature just presents those opportunities so you can experience. That's all that's going on. Nothing else is going on. But the things we don't like, then we make programs how to avoid them. And things we do like, we make programs how to get more of it. That's all that's going on. Accepting and rejecting, that's the mind's business. I like this, I don't like that. This is what all the mind does, more or less. I mean, in preliminary. And then it makes a program how to get it with the help of the intelligence. The intelligence will tell how to achieve, how to fulfill your desires. That's what's going on. Nothing else. So it's just, this is samsara. So some living things is going up by forming pious activities and staying in the higher worlds where there's less problems, relatively speaking. And when the result of their pious activities is exhausted, again back, human being, again start up again. And the ones that don't choose to follow and make their own programs, they go, generally go down. And then work their way back again to purify that misuse of their independence. They get purified in the animal and lower species of life. So then that gets purified and they take birth again as human beings. And they get another shot, another chance. This is the karma stand. There's no karma. They don't make karma up or you don't make karma down. There you just use the karma that you made on this middle planetary system. So this is the place. But this is a pivot where you can actually break free from the cycle of birth and death altogether. Therefore, it's considered the most glorious planet. Because even the residents of Jambudvipa, they want to take birth in Bharatvarsha because they practice Varnashram there, which is the form of purification, the highest religious form of purification. Of course, we understand bhakti is actually the highest performance of purification. That's not what it's meant for, but that's a byproduct. But the others, but the other forms of purification, they're specifically tailored at purification. When one is purified, as Srila Prabhupada mentions in the purport, by activities, by performing prescribed activities, karma, or by speculative knowledge, or gyan, by trying to understand the truth with the mind, with the help of the scriptures, that's called gyan. And Krishna says, after many, many births of being a jnani, who has already surpassed the karma, one who knows the truth, he understands that Krishna is the all-in-all, and then he surrenders to him. So that is the ultimate goal of all of the scriptures. The Vedic literatures leading to God, leading to surrender to God, or at least the Vedic scriptures. So when one takes that, when one accepts that, and sincerely tries to surrender to the Lord, then one is considered to have already surpassed all those other different processes of purification. So even though we may use the process of bhakti for purification, which it will do, ultimately that will. Ultimately, that will develop into a reawakening one's original constitution, which is an eternal servant of the Lord. And that's considered the best, and that's practically the only process in Kali Yuga. These other processes won't work in Kali Yuga. Karma and Gyan, you can't do it, you don't live long enough. And they're not potent. Kali Yuga. So the Lord has given this by Gautama Chaitanya has come and given this wonderful process, easy process, simple process, not easy. Sorry. I said it was simple, I never said it was easy. Prabhupada, we've been hearing this lately. It's easy because we only have two rules, one rule. We only have one rule to follow, or two. Accept what's favorable and reject what's unfavorable. So we just have to learn what's favorable and what's unfavorable. That's all we have to know. And then when we know that, then we do it. So it's simple. But doing it is hard. Because sometimes you see something unfavorable, but so you say yes. The mind still says yes, even knowingly. So that's what's hard about it. The mind is very attractive, so it's not always easy to say no to mind. We have to say yes to Krishna, no to Maya, but sometimes we say no to Krishna and yes to Maya, even though we know, we know what we're doing wrong. So that is the foolishness of the conditioned soul. We become addicted to this flickering pleasure in the material world. But that's, so therefore it's hard. Our Prabhupada said, therefore I didn't say it was easy. I said it was simple. I tricked them. But what's the alternative anyway? There's no other alternative than bhakti, than to surrender to Krishna, because nothing else is going to work in Kali Yuga. So there's no stopping. And who would want to stop? Actually. It's such a relief to hear this information. So what you've been wanting to hear all along. How many devotees have you heard when they're saying, how I came to Krishna consciousness? They picked up Prabhupada's book. Wow, that was it. That was it. Jananipas was one. He came to Calcutta to get some. He met the devotees in Puri. He said, have you got any books? They said, no, come to our ashram in Calcutta. And he picked up, because I read, he wrote the verse, these verses, the Vyasa Puja offering. He said, you know, I've been searching all around. He was just about to give up his search for truth at that time. So then he opened the Bhagavad Gita, he said, that was it, as it is. That's all, that's what I wanted to hear, you know, this is actually Bhagavad Gita as it is. That's what I wanted to hear, no one ever told us. It's so apparent the way Prabhupada writes so lucidly, so clearly and so simply. It's quite obvious. But what a relief to hear these things. You know, who you are, what is the situation, and it resolves all of those questions that drove us nuts, trying to find an answer. What a relief. And that you don't have to take birth, you're different from the body, and then you don't have to get any complete anxiety about the you know, what's going to happen to you in the future, and you don't, and as Prabhupada says, it saves you from great distress, not only mental anguish, but also entangling circumstances which you think there's no end, and they will need to go and throw yourself off the bridge because you know, you can't see any solution to the problem. It happens all the time. But with this knowledge, you don't worry about those things. You understand the result, it's up to Krishna anyway. And what can you do? And that doesn't solve the problem. Huh? Giving up the life doesn't solve the problem, it just aggravates the problem. You suffer even more. But out of frustration, just how frustrated the people must be to give up their life, which is most dear. It's the most dear thing to anyone, is their own sense of being. It's the most dear thing. So if someone gives that up, just think how frustrated they must be, how much in anguish they must be. Commit suicide. And all for what? If you see the people who commit suicide, it's just, you know, if you really look at it as a devotee, you know, the things are just got a whole, you know, social things, entanglements, and it's all going on in their mind, and it's too much for them, they can't handle it. And most of it's like that. Mostly it's like that. A different conflict in duties and family members and societies, and most of it's all like that. You know? It doesn't go how you want it to go, and it's just overwhelming, and you can't handle it. What a relief for the devotee. You know, don't worry about these things. We just depend on Krishna for the result. We just act in. We know we're not the doers, and we know the result doesn't depend on our activity. We strive for a result, obviously. But that actually depends on Krishna. And in the material world, material sense, it just depends on your previous karma. So that's gonna, you know, it's gonna come anyway. The goal of everything is happiness. That's what everyone wants. That's the prime goal of everything. So they're making all of these plans to achieve happiness, and that means you've got to make a lot of plans for distress. Right, the biggest budget in the government, in many governments, is defense. The fearful, first you've got to, you know, make sure you're protected. And then one of the other biggest expenditures is medicine in India. It's the second biggest thing. And they love to take pills and medicine and doctor's fees. It's very dear. The body's very dear. First, you know, death and then disease. So you're willing to give everything for that. It's so dear to you, this lump of earth, water, fire and air. And the last one was so dear to you, and the next one's going to be so dear to you, and you won't give a fig about this one. You won't even remember it. But what does speak of being attached to this one, then you become attached to another one. And as a result of that, you get a lot of other little ones. You become attached to them. And either everyone's doing it again and again and again. And nobody knows, like, there's no other alternative, right? No, there's everyone does it. In the whole world, they're doing that. You see a man and a woman, they come together, they build some kind of shelter and they have children. Every society, every country in the world, they're doing the same thing. What else is there to do? So it's such a relief to hear what's actually going on. You can free from this. But because we're so short-sighted, because Maya doesn't let you get too broad-minded, that's her business, you put the pressure on, you know, it's an emergency situation. She's doing that. Everything's emergency. So there you're so preoccupied trying to overcome the latest danger or the latest thing, then you have no time to think. Mind's just got you running like anything. Expert. No time. But if you understand what's going on, oh, it's Maya. You see, it's Maya pushing us along. Well, you don't have to. Then you hear that you don't have to listen to the mind. You don't have to listen to the senses. There's an alternative. But if a karma is, there's no alternative. You listen to your mind or someone else's. Of course we listen to somebody else's. We listen to Krishna's, or those that are in line with Krishna. You've got to do that. You have to accept some authority, otherwise, you know, what can be. And unfortunately, we're not that proud that we don't accept any authority at all. So it's such a relief, such a wonderful information that you can actually be peaceful in life. You can actually just live your life peacefully and accept what comes as your destiny or Krishna's mercy. And in the next life, you go back to it's the last life. It's a joyful performance. This is the first symptom of performing devotional service is kleshagni. But these distresses, they go away. Because most of them are in the mind. Most of the distresses are actually, you know, the mental distresses. It's not the sickness and all that so much. Most of the problems are mental problems. You know, different ego clashes and this and that. That's what most people get hung up on. But that goes away. I mean, not immediately, because we're still running on our same nature. It's not that the sun, you hear that, then everything, you switch everything else off. Or you get initiated, then poof, you know, it's all your material life is. No, you still like the same things. You still don't like the same things. It's still there. Your nature is still there. You still interact with the modes the same way as you always was doing. But now you're discriminating on with a higher intelligence. We accept what's favorable for Krishna, and we reject what's unfavorable for Krishna consciousness. Even we may like it, still, it's attractive to us. But because it's not favorable, then we reject it. If it's favorable, then we take it, and vice versa. So then it solves a problem. But that means you've got to put faith. You've got to put your life in someone else's hands. That's a big step of faith, which is a difficult thing to do. It's a rare thing to do, because we didn't come here we came here to be the master. We didn't come to be a servant, you see. So it means admitting defeat. It means admitting material defeat, that you're not, you couldn't do what you wanted to do. You couldn't be the controller and the enjoyer. It's a hard one to swallow, to accept. You're not the controller and the enjoyer. But that's honest. That if you're honest and see what's going on, and you're a little broad-minded, then you can understand you're actually a jerk in the material world, trying to achieve something. Everyone's doing the same thing. It's a big struggle. It's a big race. Everyone's trying to do the same old thing, trying to get on top, trying to enjoy it, and everyone's exploiting everyone else. It's common sense, but because of the pressures of mind and the mode of passion, you don't see it. You're completely caught up, you know, in that picture, in the whole circumstance that's going on. And the more passion and the more ignorance, and the more and more absorbed you are in the thing. Therefore, it's recommended, come to the mode of goodness. You can be a little broad-minded, you can get a bigger picture, see what's actually going on. But here, in this transcendental literature, you get the full picture. Krishna's giving you the full picture. He's giving you the 14 planetary systems and beyond. This is what is going on. This is the material world. Our Brahma, from top to bottom, is a place of misery. Living entity doesn't belong there. You belong in the spiritual world, enjoying in service to me.